Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Servant of God, Apostle Michael Oropo, as he brings the word to me.
Somebody give Jesus the praise.
It's truly an honor to be here this evening. I was telling God's servant yesterday, I said, every time I have the privilege of coming to the north, I'm the one who is most blessed and inspired. Because the purest form of Christianity you find today, with all due respect to every part of the country, is sincerely in the north. You know, it takes a lot of faith to live here, let alone serving God here. When we talk about faith in the south, in the west, we are looking at material things that faith produces. But when we talk faith here, it's a different matter altogether. Faith here is doggedness to stand in the face of persecution and still represent Christ. So your concept, your ideologies, your philosophies, everything stems from a deep conviction and passion for Jesus. And so that level of purity, for me, it's a very huge sign that there's still hope for our generation. And so I'm honored to be here to share fellowship with you this evening. And I want to sincerely appreciate God's servant. Can we please, in the spirit of honor, celebrate our father tonight, Reverend Hialadi Mishalia, and our dear mama, Mommy Habiba Mishalia. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored. I don't take it for granted. I want to honor the PFN chairperson. Thank you so much for coming to share fellowship. Thank you, ma. It's an honor to have you. And of course, again, celebrate the wife of the deputy governor, Her Excellency. Thank you so much for taking out time to come share fellowship. Glory to Jesus. I guess it's only in the north you find excellencies come to church in weekdays. Thank you for coming. And of course, all the ministers of God, it's an honor to have you. Can we lift our hands to heaven and talk to Jesus one more time? Just honor the Lord. Tell Him your heart is open to receive. Let the word come into your spirit, man. Let it enlighten you. Let it energize you. Let it transport you to higher realms of spiritual possibilities. Just talk to Him. From the depths of your heart, just love Him, just praise Him, just honor Him.
Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Temba, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Agune Temba, Yeshua,
Yeshua,
agune chemba Yeshua. Yeshua. Yeshua, Amashia.
Can you just praise this God? Can you just honor Him for all He has done for you, for all He's doing in you, and for all He has done through you, even for what He will yet do? You may not be seeing any physical evidence, but I assure you, you can't outdo God in praise.
Yeshua! Yeshua! Yeshua, Amasia,
Agune Jemba, Yeshua. Yeshua, Arapako Rabaha de Gedelemar. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost. Talk to Jesus from your heart. Forget who is standing by your side. Be let loose in praising Him. He deserves the highest praise. Mareke faro kapakadia. Azeze sazono marakada kadia datas. Aliya. Thank you. are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, you reign, you reign. Gados, you reign, you reign, you reign. Gados, Gados, you are mighty on your throne. Hey ya, ya, 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 hey
Just lift your hands and honor the Lord. Give Him praise. We serve a living God. He's a king. He's a monarch. We are not hopeless. We are not helpless. We serve a God that has the capacity to prove Himself. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible said he shall be saved. He's not shy to demonstrate His ability. He's not intimidated by any force anywhere. The Bible said He sustains all things by the word of His power. We serve a living God, not a dead one. He's a King everlasting. Hey-ya! Hey-ya! Hey! Faco, Azazazina, Maragata, Avagai, Zazazazavano Talagabaya, Arika Parosa Banata. Aro Bareke Susana Parada. Hey-ya-ya, hey-ya-ya. Hey-ya-ya! Hey-ya-ya! You know, something will happen here tonight. God will raise warriors. Men that have the capacity to prove and to demonstrate God to their world. As you step out of this conference, you will step out as another man. Men that will take territories. Men that will invade systems and change status quo, because they will come with power. Kadosh, 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 Kadosh. Is the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone is worthy of our praise. Kadosh, Kadosh. Kadosh, 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 Kadosh,
is the Lamb of God who sits upon the throne. He alone Kadosh, 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 is the Lamb of God. He alone. Is the Lamb of God. He alone.
Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you glory. We magnify your name for who you are and for what you do. Even tonight, we are persuaded that you will do wonders and you will change the lives and destinies of men from glory to glory, from power to power, from wisdom to wisdom, from height to height, from realms to realms. Take all the praise tonight. Take all the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody give the Lord a shout. Come be shout glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. We had to honor him in advance for the many things that we do tonight. You will walk out of this place and your life will become an endless stream of the miraculous. I think I'm talking to the people by my right. You will walk out of this place and your life will be an endless stream of the miraculous. Shout glory! You may be seated. Tonight, I will be doing a brief teaching and then we'll just praise God and allow him to do something extraordinary in the life of someone. You know, when you are preparing for a meeting, you try to discern the move of the Spirit because that's what makes the difference. And tonight, I perceive strongly in my spirit that God will visit us with a sound. And so when I do a little bit of teaching, we will spend time to praise God. And then I make some declarations so that graces will rest on people and great wonders will happen in their lives. Hallelujah. When I saw the theme of the conference, my heart and my spirit leaped for joy. Because not everybody discerns the times that we are in. We are in the last days. And so Christianity cannot be business as usual. You cannot afford to call yourself a Christian and all you have are sets of rituals or just a religious routine. We have come to the time where it's a risk to call yourself a Christian, and so you have to have the capacity to demonstrate God. Because if you don't have that capacity and you just call yourself a Christian, you will not have it very easy in many quarters, in many corridors, and in many nations.
And those of you who are in the north in particular, no one should know this better than you. And so you must make up your mind to resist and to rebel against religion. The time has come for the God you believe not just to be known by you, but for you to also have the capacity to demonstrate Him. And so when God's servant sent me the team, what manner of men? I was so blessed just by seeing the team. And I know the time has come for true believers to emerge. Because when believers emerge, they emerge as a wonder to their world. We don't emerge as another movement with sets of belief, doctrines, and religious practices. We emerge to demonstrate God. The reason we have doctrine is because we want to create borderlines that guards the manifestations that we uphold. So we don't spiral into error. But doctrine is not just who we are. If we have a doctrine that cannot demonstrate God, then something is wrong with that doctrine. And so our belief system that is taught must have a capacity or the capacity to accommodate the manifestation of God. Every belief system that does not have the capacity to manifest God has an error at its foundation. And so a generation has come that is not only interested in speaking language, but demonstrating God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1, Paul said, I, Paul, when I came unto you, he said, I did not come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the counsel of God. It is never about language. He said, I was amongst you, and I choose to know nothing save Christ and Him crucified. He said, my preaching and my message was not with enticing words of human wisdom. He said, it was the demonstration of spirit and power. And so there is nothing wrong with doctrines and teachings. But doctrines and teachings must also have the capacity to demonstrate spirit and power. If spirit and power is not demonstrated, what you are doing is dead. And it cannot raise men who can represent God. Because when Paul rounded up, he said that you will not stand in the wisdom of men. And so anything that cannot demonstrate spirit and power is the wisdom of men. And if you have that, you have just signed up for a defeated life and you have just accepted the verdict of being a victim as you walk through life. But thanks be to God, we have not believed cunningly devised fables. Thanks be to God that the message and the light that we come to present is one that is able to demonstrate God and to showcase the power of God. This is what bets the generation of men that the world wonders at. What manner of men are these? Now, in order for accuracy and genuineness to be tied to what we do, I began my emphasis from the standpoint of morality. Because I know some of the mysteries of power, if you tap into them, there is a dimension you can enter that if your morality is affected, you can still manifest power. Because there are many people manifesting power today, but to a very large extent, God don't know them. To a very large extent, their character does not represent God. And so in order for us to understand priorities, I began by defining and explaining the necessity of moral values before demonstration of power. So that you are not just there manifesting something that another spirit can take over you and you are still manifesting. Because you can start with prophecy and end up in divination. You can start manifesting the Spirit of God, but a point will come where you create a caveat for an immoral spirit and God is no longer working, but another spirit takes over. You will still be calling names and phone numbers, but you are already in error. And so in order for you not to begin with God and to end up with the devil, we must define emphasis correctly. And this is why yesterday we said, the first kind of men that the world wonders at are those who uphold the moral standards of God. And so we began from 2 Peter chapter 3, from verse 11 and verse 14 as our key words, scriptures of emphasis. And Peter was speaking. He drew the attention to the fact that a time is coming where the elements of this world will melt. And it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Talking about every physical thing we know. From the diamonds, to the iron, to all the natural resources, to all the physical possessions we have, like cars, like houses. It says, a time is coming when all of these things shall melt. He now said, seeing then that all of these things shall dissolve, what manner of persons ought we to be in our lifestyle? Because if we don't realize that everything we have, a day will come when it will vanish and it will no longer have the capacity to define our essence, we will live our life only based on the things we have. Paul said, a day cometh where these things, Peter rather, shall melt and shall be dissolved. He said, what manner of men ought we to be? And in verse 14, he said we should be blameless and without spot. And so I said the men that represent God must have a priority of attaining the standard and the status of blamelessness. That is what God looks at in his men. And even the world, as corrupt as it is, that is what he looks at in men. That's why the world is okay if somebody dresses naked. But if you say you are a man of God, you can't dress naked. The world has no challenge if people are immoral. People can walk in and out of the hotel demonstrating all forms of immorality, no problem. But if you are a pastor, they will ask the question, what are you doing here? And how come you are holding on to a woman that is naked? I thought you say you are a man of God. So it's not only God that expects us to be blameless, even the world expects us to be blameless. And I told you yesterday, being a man of God is not having a title. A man of God is not a pastor. A man of God is not a prophet. A man of God is a man who comes from God. A man who represents God. A man whose essence is God. You are of God, little children, because you have overcome him. Whoever is born of God. So a man of God is one who is born of God, who lives for God, and who represents God. And Paul is saying, if we are such men, then blamelessness must become our target, because God has a moral value. Paul came to reiterate the same emphasis in 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 19. He said, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. That means it will not bend for anybody. If you like, be an apostle. If you like, be a prophet. If you like, be a bishop. This foundation will never bend. He said, it is on the strength of God's standard that he identifies with men. He said, therefore, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And he said, whoever names the name of the Lord must, not should, must depart from iniquity. Must depart from iniquity. In verse 21 of that scripture, it said, if a man purges himself, it said, then he is qualified, sanctified, and fit to be used of the master. So the men God uses that the world wonders at are those who have perfected the life of purity and holiness. If there is no morality in your life, there is nobody that will wonder at your existence. Your existence will be normal and natural like any other person. The reason the world wonders at you is because they see that everybody is fornicating. Why are you not fornicating? Everybody is lying. Why are you not lying? Everybody is compromising. Why are you not compromising? There is therefore something in you that makes you not like every other person. It's on the strength of your moral values and moral standard that the world will ask the question, what manner of man are you? We have been around you. Everybody drinks alcohol once in a while. How come you don't drink? We have been around you. Everybody has a girlfriend. How come you are not fornicating? What is it about you that you are able to live above the power of the age? Then they will begin to ask the question, what manner of man are you? And I gave us five standards yesterday. Number one, I spoke about sexual purity. If we must be men of God, we must uphold purity, not just in public, but in secret. It is easy to come to the platform and preach a good message, but God is not moved by the message you preach, because it's not growing based on your message. It's the one who even gave the message in the first place. God is moved by your capacity to sustain purity, that your garment is not stained. So when you stand, what the immortals are looking at is not your message, it is your garment. If there's a stain on your garment, you have no right to participate in the arena. The title does not mean anything to those guys. When Isaiah ascended to the realm of God, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, and his strength filled the temple. He looked at the glory and the excellency of God, and suddenly, nobody was carried away by his title. Nobody was carried away by every other physical qualification he came with. The first thing they checked was his purity. And without talking to him, he began to judge himself. He said, woe unto me. I'm a man of unclean lips. How can a national prophet suddenly begin to curse himself? Because he has come to the place where value systems are measured based on God's standard. And he discovered how much word of knowledge he gave before that time didn't count. He discovered his title did not count. Even though he was a national prophet, it meant nothing. They were checking his garment. And before they would interact with him, they had to purge him of his iniquity. And so if a man does not sustain purity, he cannot carry out the assignments of God and the agenda of God. No matter how intelligent and anointed he is, the first qualification is purity. 2 Corinthians 6:17 said, come out from among them. He said, touch not the unclean thing. He said, they that bear the vessels of God must be holy. And the Bible said, it's on that basis that I, the Lord, will accept you. And so you can come the way you are, but you cannot be used the way you are. If you want to walk with God for the world to marvel at you, then purity must become a fight that you must win. Because the devil will fight your purity. The second thing I spoke about yesterday was love for God. And I told us the reason love for God is a qualification in the cadre of morality is because when your morality is affected, your affection for God begins to die. That's why you find people who can sit in front of the movie for 10 hours, but they cannot sit with their Bible for 30 minutes. Passion for God is beginning to die because they have begun to love the world. They have begun to love other things. And I told you five other things that is possible to fall in love with. Number one, I say you can love knowledge and not life. Because there are many people who want to have something to say so that they can appear relevant. That is the error of Adam in the garden. He didn't go for the tree of life. He went for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge without life is death. Everyone must pursue life, and life is in God. The knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God is life. He said, this is life eternal. John 17:3, that you may know him, the only true God, and him that he has sent. And so knowledge that has no life in it is death. And so everyone who has affection for God pursues God and not just any form of knowledge. I said the second thing you can fall in love with is money. And he said the love of money is the root of all evil. Because you know that money has purchasing power. And so the more of money you have, the more you can build independence apart from God. Because when you have money, it looks as if you no longer need God. Every other thing that you should have trusted God for, it looks as if money will bring it. And so you begin to find relevance in things apart from God. So the moment you have that house, you feel you have arrived. But you can be in a house and the presence of God is not there. It's better to be in the wilderness with the presence of God than to live in a mansion without the presence of God. Love for money. I said the third thing you fall in love with is pleasure. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4, it said these ones are lovers of pleasure. The fourth thing is lovers of self. So it's either you love pleasure or you love yourself. That's why you find a lot of people, they can spend 10 hours decorating their body. There's nothing wrong in looking good. I'm not looking too bad myself. Praise God. You can go to the gym and build your chest. You can carve your hair, dye it and look clean. Nothing wrong with that. But if you spend more time and more resources in developing your body and not your spirit, it means something is wrong with your affection. And that's what we call the spirit of the age. You know, when we are preaching, people don't know what we are saying sometimes. There are times when you are preaching, you are ministering to people. God will allow you to be very polite and diplomatic so that you can manage their immaturity. There are times when you are preaching, you are ministering to the territory. So you are talking to spirits, not men. You will become very aggressive. People who don't understand calling, they will assume you are talking to men. There are times when I'm talking about gymming, and I'm talking not just to the territory. I'm addressing the spirit of the age. Because the spirit of the age is the spirit of seduction. And so when you are addressing the spirit of the age, you will be talking like you are talking to the devil and to an enemy. If somebody hears you and he doesn't understand, is the apostolic mantle at work. He may think you are not polite. He may think you are not diplomatic. But you see, because we know what we are doing, we don't care. I can come today and I'm talking about laziness. And I'm addressing people. I'll be very polite. And encourage them to be focused, to be disciplined, and show them what to do in order not to be lazy. But when I'm talking to the spirit of the age that wants to rob people of their destiny through lethargy, through weakness, through laziness, I will not be polite. Because at that point, it's not a preaching, it's a battle. I'm fighting a spirit. And so if you don't understand when I'm talking to people from when I'm talking to spirits, you may juxtapose things. And you will think I'm talking to people when I'm talking to spirit. There's a time when we are educating you, and there's a time when we are fighting spirits that are in a territory or spirits that control this age. It is who we are talking to that determines our level of aggression. Are you following? And so there are those who are lovers of pleasure. There are those who are lovers of self. They spend a whole month taking care of themselves. Their physical body. From eyelashes to fingernails to hairdo to size of their muscles. All of that. And they never have time to check what is happening with their spirit. You know why? Because they don't care about God. They care about human approval. When they step out, people should admire them. They snap pictures and put online. They are scanning their Facebook page every 1 hour to look at how many likes they have. And they are reading every comment to hear what people are saying about their eyelashes, about their color combination. All of that is good. To look good is good. But if it has become an obsession, it means you have become a slave. The same attention you pay to developing yourself, you should pay same to developing your spirit, and even much more, because God engages you in your spirit. But if your affection for God is dead, that will no longer matter. And so you'll become a carnal man. A carnal man is not a sinner. It's a man who is conscious of the physical aspect of his being. And he has no time or regard for God. And so the second standard that God insists on is love for God. God will not use you except as he's convinced that you are passionately in love with him. In John 21 verse 15, he came to Peter. He said, "Lovest thou me more than this? I want to make you the leader of the church, but we will check your love quotient. Lovest thou me more than this?" Peter said, "Lord, you know I do." He asked him that question 3 times before he made him one of the leading apostles of that generation. If you have no love for God, God will not walk with you. And if God does not walk with you, you are not a wonder. Nobody will ask the question, what manner of man are you? The third thing I spoke about yesterday was integrity. I said there are many who know every right thing to say, but their life is a contradiction. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1 from verse 1, it said, "Of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach." You have no authority in what you are saying except as your life can command it. What you are not living, you cannot teach. Spiritual knowledge is not physical. It is not logical. It's not rational. It may appear rational and mental, but the ideal thing is that there is a life that flows through spiritual knowledge. And if that life is not at work in you, you cannot communicate it. And so you first of all do before you preach. There are many today, they go to Bible school to learn all the exegesis, to learn all the doctrine on all the vital aspects of Christian lifestyle. And when they master it, they come with very polished English and they are saying what they don't know. Because they know it's important to teach on prayer. Everybody is teaching on prayer. How many are praying? Because they know it's important to talk about purity. When you are preaching on sexual purity, people say you are a holy man. People say you are a genuine man of God. They start teaching every day about purity. But in their hearts, they are full of lust. And some of them are even cohabiting with women in different hotels and in different apartments. You can deceive men, not spirits. Because spirits see beyond what you say. They are seeing through the wall. They are seeing you even when the light goes off. Because their eyes are not physical lenses. They see through the dark room. They know what you are doing. They even know what you are thinking. And so integrity is a requirement for the kinds of people that the world will wonder at. I shared with you yesterday how many people rose up that they had passed on to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Lo and behold, they appeared in Italy. And they discovered that when sun is hot, you know, when it's hot in Gombe, you go and shower and stay in your house. When it's hot in some countries, they walk naked. They want to do, they call it sun bath. They are bathing with, when it's cold, sorry, they do sun bath. They are bathing with sun. So they wear pants and they are walking. And man of God says, Jesus, what is happening? Tomorrow, because integrity is not important to him, he starts making friends. And these friends, they are talking what they are not supposed to say. And before you know, he falls. Because even while he was here, he didn't think integrity was important. They send him money. Both ministry account and personal account is the same. Anyone that comes is spent. Because both him and the work of God are all the work of God. The work of God is also the work of God. People send money for ministry. He said, we are buying chairs. When money comes, the next time, man of God is with iPhone. He said, my brother, he needs this iPhone in order to search the scriptures online. Because that is how he serves God. So this is part of work, God's work. No integrity. He's spending church money, spending his own money, all on himself. And when he comes out, he said, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And because he's preaching with a baritone voice and people are excited, he thinks God approves of him. A time will come when his disgrace will be the reason why he will run out of ministry. Integrity is a vital requirement for the men that will be wondered at. Number four, I spoke about humility and brokenness. We are a proud generation. The moment God begins to do any little thing, we become Alpha and Omega. And so the reason you see people passionate for certain breakthroughs is so that they can sustain certain disposition. And so the moment church growth or church population becomes 2,000, man of God starts walking in a certain way. He looks at the people who were praying with him before and he wants to lay hands on them. When they are talking, he's quiet because he is a wise man. His friends that they were together before, when they talk, he say, I'm busy now, later. If you want to argue how many people come to your church, you are still 30, so you won't understand what we are doing. It takes a lot of stature. It takes a lot of stature. A friend who was his prayer partner before, will want to see him, he will say, okay, tell the protocol to give you an appointment. Maybe in 2 weeks' time, check Friday if I'm around. And please remind him that he has only 15 minutes. When you come, he will deliberately not see you. He will wait in a secret room. He's not doing anything. He wants you to wait for 20 minutes first so that you will have the understanding that you are not equal. You are no longer colleagues. And so after 20 minutes, he will walk into the hall and he will be quiet. He will be looking at you. If you don't stand up and say, God's servant, when you say that, he say, come on, we are brothers. Don't relax, relax. Meanwhile, he has already programmed you to feel inferior before you approach him. Pride. And so, when God sees that, he will say, okay, you have reached your zenith, remain there. You see people fighting. Lord, miracles must happen. Lord, church must grow. It's for packaging. They have no passion for anybody. They have no compassion for the flock. But those things is what validates them.
those things validate them. They can go out of their way so that certain things happen. Not because they are concerned about people's progress. Those are the things that make them feel they have arrived. They have arrived. In fact, now they don't even joke with you anymore. First somebody you pray with before, you crack jokes, you shake yourself. When you lift your hand to shake, your hands will hang on the air. He won't lift his own. When you lift your hand, he will say, you know, it's important for us to understand seasons. Because if you don't understand seasons, you will not move forward. But it's paribus. May God give us understanding. If God is helping somebody, honor him. It is foolishness not to honor the person God is lifting. But if honor has become something we so weaponize that we teach it until we use it as a witchcraft tool, then something is wrong with our soul. And when God sees that, God will insist that we never rise again. Because pride is what will rob this generation of the graces that we require to become a wonder to our generation. And number five, I said you must have love for the souls. Love for the sheep. Compassion for the sheep. If you don't love the people, you have no ministry. If you don't love the people, because God's agenda is with men. And so you cannot claim you are part of God's agenda when you don't have affection, love, and passion for the people. I read scriptures for you yesterday from Matthew 14:14, Matthew 9:37. The Bible said Jesus saw the multitude and he was moved with compassion. It was on the strength of compassion that he healed them. It was on the strength of compassion that he went from place to place to serve them. And Paul was speaking in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. He said, because we are affectionately desirous of you. We did not just teach you the gospel. We imparted you the substance of our soul. There was connection with the people of God. There was passion for the people of God. There was love for the people of God. But today, ministry is profession. No connectivity, no concern, no attention, no love, no compassion. So long as people are slaving for God's servant, it's okay. But if God's servant has to go out of his way to help people, then it doesn't work. I know God's servant was modest when he was sharing. Today they will tell you, if you are doing youth ministry, the first thing they tell you is that there's no money there. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you. Because nobody is interested where there's no money. It's always about self. It's always about me. I and myself. No connection. You find God's servant smiling with somebody. Check, he has money. Find God's servant laughing with somebody. Check, there is something sacrificial that person is doing for him. You will hardly find people now who go out of their way to help people who will never pay back. But the way Jesus demonstrated it was to give his life for people who will never be able to pay back. He didn't do it for those who will pay back in cash or in kind. He did it for people who will never be able to pay back. Because for him, whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord. There must be compassion and vital connectivity. These are moral standards in the realm of God. And these are the things God sees and makes God point at a man and say, this is my man. This one is genuine. I have seen his heart. He doesn't love money. He doesn't love himself. He doesn't love anything but me. And he's doing all he's doing as a sacrifice and an offering to glorify my name. That's what we looked at yesterday. What manner of men ought we to be? We must be people that meet and pass the moral standards of God. Having explained that, I said there is a second dimension. When you say you are a man of God, when you say you are God's representative to a generation, then there is another thing. Matthew 8:37. He said, Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind. And the disciples looked at him and they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And so the second thing that must be traceable to your life is signs and wonders. If there is no signs and wonders in your life, nobody will bother to even notice you exist before they ask the question, what manner of man are you? If there's no sign and wonder in your life, you are like everybody. There's no need to ask any question. You are a man of man. But when they see something in your life that they cannot explain, then they begin to ask the question, who are you? And sometimes, even who are you becomes the wrong English.
The right question they begin to ask is, what are you? Because when the psalmist spoke about man, he said, what is man? If they have not started asking, what are you? It means you are normal. But the kind of men Jesus left on earth are men that should not be asked, who are you? But what are you? What are you, sister? If everybody is asking, who are you? Where are you from? It means you are normal. When you become a servant of God, when you become a man who represents God, the same way they cannot define your God, they will not be able to define you. And so the question will change. What are you? When you leave this conference, they will start asking, what are you? Lines, people look at you and they think you are exciting people. But the reason they think like that is because Christianity has been watered down. You know what the thought of Christianity is now? When you accept Jesus Christ, join a church, and start growing in leadership. You become head of department, or you become a pastor, you learn the doctrine, you learn the religious rituals, and then you too, you gather people and you begin to carry them through that routine. That's not what Jesus left in the world. Not even the church in the wilderness operated like that. The church in the wilderness. If you read the Bible is filled with testimonies of men that worked wonders as a normal way of life. And when Jesus came, he upgraded the equation. And so we are not even permitted to function like the men in the wilderness. Do you even know what Jesus said? Jesus said in Matthew 14:12, he said, they that believe in me, he said, the works that I do, they shall do also. And he said, greater works than this. So Jesus was not even expecting us to do the things he did alone. He was expecting us to do much more. But when you read the Bible and you see what the men in the wilderness did, you will discover your own Christianity is a joke. Moses entered Egypt. Egypt is the strongest civilization of that world. He walked into Egypt with a staff. And you know what Moses was demanding for? The deliverance of more than 5 million people with a staff. He didn't come with an economic structure. He didn't come with an army. He didn't come with anything that suggested he was a system. Everything he carried was in a staff. And with a staff, Moses went, confronted the king, and said, the God of the Hebrew sent me. Let my people go that they may serve me. And the man was wondering, this is the greatest civilization in the world. Anything we don't do, anything we don't believe, no other person does it. Where are you coming from? Who is your God? Moses understood the question. Who is your God does not mean describe him. Show me the might of your God. The moment they say, who is your God? They drop his staff. And the staff became a serpent. So the way you answer who your God is not with language, it's with signs and wonders. And 10 times Moses visited the king, and 10 wonders happened in Egypt. At the end of the day, Moses walked to a king that was called a god. Pharaoh was called the sun god. And Moses told him, you will not see me again. Is it a privilege for him to see you before? You will not see me again. And Moses walked out. That same night, Pharaoh sent for him and said, please, pack everything you want and go. We have no right to keep you. And Moses walked out. You think the battle was over? He confronted the sea.
there was no technology of crossing a river. How do you walk towards the sea? What are you thinking? Moses knew that the rod was the answer. And when he turned to God, God said, why are you crying to me? Go forward. And Moses pointed a stick to a river, and the river parted. A wind passed through the river, and one side was ice blocked, another side was ice blocked, and over 5 million people walked through the river to the other side. The Egyptians thought it was a function of geography and season. When they entered, the water closed. So it was Moses that kept the water apart by power. They had never seen that. And you think that is all? When it was night, and you are thinking, where do we get fire from? Suddenly the Shekinah appeared. A fire from heaven appeared and stayed there as a covering. When it was there, you said, where do we go from here? It became a whirlwind moving in front of them. And you find a people walking through your, coming to your country. Imagine, over 5 million people are marching to your country. And what is leading them is not a man, it's a whirlwind. A tornado is coming into your nation. And behind that tornado, you see 5 million people following. You will ask yourself, what are these people? When it is night, the tornado will turn to fire. And fire is moving on its own. And men are following. And that is not the only thing. What is the technology of feeding 5 million people? When they need food, suddenly it starts raining. And the rain is not water, it's food. And they go to the field, pack food and eat. When they want to eat meat, suddenly a wind directs birds. And birds fly to the camp. Birds will land. Other birds will stand on top. You'll go and carry, kill and eat. The next day, the birds will still come again. And birds were coming every day for 40 years. Where did the birds come from? For 40 years, birds were coming. And you think that is enough. You give birth to a child. And then you do a sander for that child. Because wood was cast. The child is growing. The sander also is growing. The garment you gave your child is growing. The garment is also growing. And then you say, what are these? Ah! Yeah, yeah! Yeah, yeah! Yeah, yeah! Trying to help you understand who we are and what we are. You think Christianity is a set of rules and regulations. You don't know where we came from. Now, when you study Moses, you think, oh, God was doing what he was doing because the people were many. And then lo and behold, a man showed up. And he was such in a hurry to manifest that they didn't have enough time to introduce where he came from or how he was born. They say, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, went straight to the king. The same way Moses went. In the case of Moses, you say, God answered like that because he was talking on behalf of 5 million people. Elijah was not talking on behalf of 5 million people. He said, as long as the Lord God, whom I serve, liveth, there shall be no rain or dew, except by my word. Who are you to say there will be no rain? Have you forgotten that there is such a thing called conventional rainfall? That is a function of geography. So long as the sun shines, there must be rain. Because when the sun shines, water is evaporated. And when the cloud be full of rain, the cloud has no choice but to empty themselves. Then a man shows up and tells a king. He wasn't talking at the backyard. He meets a king and says, so long as I am standing, there will be no rain, except I say so. The king would assume this one is a madman. And he walks away. And the king thought it was a joke. 1 month, no rain. 2 months, no rain. 3 months, no rain. 4 months, the king now came and said, is it possible that what this man says, what is happening? Dry season has finished. So
5 months, no rain. 6 months, no rain. 1 year, no rain. The king gathered the whole army and they started looking for one man. And then you thought the man was hiding, was running around. When Obadiah finally saw him, he said, okay, go and tell the king I'm here. That was when Obadiah told us why they couldn't find him. He said, if I leave you, the wind will carry you. Hear this. In the days of Elijah, men bought horses to travel. But when Elijah wants to travel, a cloud will come. He will sit on it and he will be moving around like the whirlwind, like the whirlwind, like the whirlwind. That was how the man was living for 3.5 years. And when he wants to rest, he goes to a brook and sit down. There's no food in the land, but a raven was bringing bread every day for at least 2 years to feed him, morning and evening.
You say Christianity is religion? You have not traced our origin well. It's a move of wonders. It's a move of signs. It's a move of power. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. We are a people of wonder. That's what our ancestors did. You think that is enough? And then there was a man called Joshua who appeared on the scene. Israel were going to fight. And Joshua discovered in the morning, under the sun, they were winning. And he now saw that when the sun goes down, they lose. And he now came and stood and began to talk to the sun. He said, let the sun not move. Let the moon not move. Who talks to sun? Who talks to moon? Joshua talks to sun. Let the sun stand upon the mountains of Ajalon. And let the moon remain upon the valley of Gibeon. And he said, the sun did not make haste to go down. So the sun too knows how to make haste. A man stopped it. We were born and initiated into a move of power. Christianity is not religion. It's divinity manifested through humanity. That's why you are not intoxicated. Things are going wrong. You are begging. You are sleeping. If you know what we are, if the devil shows up, anger rises in your spirit. How dare you come here? Somebody is about to step into a realm that has never been seen. When you are there. You know, do you know why I'm sharing this? Because God works in patterns, in cycles, and in seasons. Patterns because anything God has done before, there is now a precedence. He can do it again. In cycles, because what was is what is and is what will come. And in seasons, because different graces are allocated for different seasons. So if you understand precedence, anything God has done before, you can boast that it will happen again. And it will happen. If you understand season, you can discern what God is doing now. And you can insist on entering. Did you not read about Elijah? Elijah heard that Enoch walked with God and was not. And Elijah said, if God has done it before, he can do it again. When Elijah's time on earth was over, Elijah, like Enoch, also said, God will take me. And Elijah said, we have heard that God will take you. I will not leave you today. Elijah was so sure that he wanted to dribble Elijah. And Elijah said, I know you are going today. I will not leave you. How can you believe such a thing will happen with a man? And how can a man be mad enough to believe it? Elijah did not just know it will happen. He knew the location. And you know what Elijah did? He came to the Jordan and said, God did not part the river because Moses was with 5 million men. God parted the river because a man dared to believe. He took his mantle, struck the water. The
The same way God parted the river for 5 million people, he parted it for 2 people. And Elijah and Elisha walked through. When Elijah crossed the Jordan, he knew that the time has come. And he told Elisha, "What do you want? My time is at hand." Your time to go where? So why you are bragging about standing in Heathrow Airport in London? Somebody else knows the airport to heaven. Go where? He said, "Ask what you want." And Elisha said, "I want a double portion of your money." He said, "You have asked a hard thing. Notwithstanding, if you see me when I'm taking, who will take you? How will they take you? What are you talking about? What are you?" And while they were yet talking, the Bible said, suddenly there was a chariot of fire from heaven, and he splitted them into two. And he said, a whirlwind carried him. Elisha knew, and he was watching. And he shouted, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen thereof." And he said, the mantle fell, and he caught it. Ah! Mereke kekora! Maragada, Zaza, Maruka. Hear this. Hear this. Hear this. Everything God has done before, he is still doing. Is what you can catch that is your own. Elisha caught it. Hey! And what God did for 5 million people, God did for 2 persons. Now God is about to do for 1 man. And Elisha turned back and said, "The glory God of Elijah, he struck the water parted, and he crossed." The moment he crossed, every other prophet knew that this one has become another man. When you are there,
when you are there, when you are there, when you are there,
when you are there,
when you are there.
Do you know why I took time to carry you through this route? Because all of these things were at the foundation before Jesus came. And so what Jesus came to do was to raise the bar. And so why Moses had to part the Red Sea? Elijah had to part the Red Sea. Elijah had to part the Red Sea. When Jesus came on board, there was no need to part the water. The Bible said he walked on it. Araka, Barado, Baragaga, Azete, Zaza, Arigama, Dagabaduatata, Azo, Azo, Yakoa,
Hey,
Yaya, Hey, Yaya,
Hey, Yaya.
If I don't show you the background and I start talking about what you are, somebody will hear it and say, all these preachers, they are just psyching people. They don't know what Christianity is. They think Christianity is about human intelligence. That you are analyzing things, you are logical, and it's reasonable. Christianity is not reasonable. It's a supernatural life. It's above the human mental power. You can't reason it. It's beyond the mind. That's why we are not reasonable to be Christians. We have faith to be Christians. It's beyond the realms of reason. It's a supernatural life. Jesus walked on water. He walked on water. When Elijah wanted to raise the dead, he fell on the dead person. When Jesus came, they had buried the person. For 4 days, he was already decaying. He was already smelling. And Jesus came. He didn't need the ritual of lying on the person. He stood at the door. in majesty. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. The question you ask is, do the dead hear? Somebody is dead. The organ for hearing is dead. Why are you talking to the dead? Because the words I speak is not Hebrew. It's not Aramaic. The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Even if you are dead, I inject life into you. When I speak, I release life. Marakoa. Ezeke Rakuna Tash. Karuna Paragat Asato de Paragatia Yahoo Alakataba to Patabasha Arakua Tiago Tatadin. Oh, Raka. There's power here. Hey, Aro Paraka for Patakas. Averiano Dalatia. Manteke para abarata tatatina talakabu ambere kaparusa pada kaza zona arakuata. Hear this. Can I tell you what will quench your hunger? It's not a new doctrine. Doctrine is good. But what your spirit is looking for is not a message. What your spirit is looking for is supernatural dimensions. What your spirit is looking for is power. What your spirit is looking for is an experience with God. You are not moved by stories. You have heard too many stories. Your spirit is asking a question. When will I handle this? He said the things that we heard, the things we saw, the things we looked upon, he said, now our hands have handled. Help those under the anointing. There is a power coming to this place now. There is an unction descending here. I did not come with excellency of speech when I declared unto you the counsel of God. I came with a demonstration of the spirit and power, that your faith will not be built on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. Aroba Baraka, Azazina Talagado, Apeana Zwa, Yago Sagash. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Something is entering here now. Aparo Ravak. Heyayana, heyayana, heyayana. Ilo barida kabasha. Vande lebaya. Avanto. He said, everyone that thirsts, let him come. Let him come. Let him come. There is a river of living waters. Everyone that thirsts, there is a quench for you. Arelo barika. Avelo lalina. Hazayana Nigat. My God. Ora Velekuna. Zakadila Paragado. Alika Poradiana Davagatia. God is quenching the thirst of man. I release that power. I release that unction. I release that grace. I release that possibility by the Spirit. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty, all yours. You reign, you reign, you reign. Lift your hands toward heaven. Some of you didn't come here for a message. You came because you are tired of stories. You came because you are tired of the oppression of the devil. We are not the victims. We should not be pitied. He said, you are the light of the world. You are a city set upon the hill. You are asking the question, when will I shine? I came to tell you this is your night. As I speak now, I see God raising warriors. Badges and ranks are being given to men. And so I speak based on what I see. Everyone here being ordained as a warrior. Everyone here being given a marching order by the Spirit of glory. I call you forth. Step into that river now. Step into that river. Ushers, help them. Bring them forward. Bring them forward. These are warriors of the kingdom. Arako Balaka. Yekalato Maragada. Arura Bashada. Yure, yure, yure. Help them. Operato Bonakaba. Bring them forward. Bring them forward. Yure. There are seven of you. You are about to come under a fresh fire. Because God is about to exalt your horn. And so of necessity you must be anointed with a fresh oil. But I see that oil coming upon you like liquid fire. Everyone on this side that God is ordaining for fire, take that fire now. Everyone here, God is ordaining for fire. Take that fire. Everyone here and in the overflow, God is ordaining for fire. Take that fire now.
Spirit of victory, come out of with your will. Blow, blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory,
ushers, bring them forward, bring them forward.
Blow.
Me now. Please carry those under the power. I don't want people to fall on people. That's what I'm saying. Bring them forward. There's something heavy about to fall here. I'm seeing God giving a staff to someone and it's a symbol of authority. Like Moses was given and he entered Egypt and conquered it. City takers are about to rise from among you in Gombe. Men with stature able to take cities on ground and online. I'm about to give a command in the spirit. Marekevanos is an apostolic unction. It's a horn of authority. By the mercies of God, I have perceived the little of it. And so I come to you as one sent. Every one of you here that God is ordaining for that level of authority, in the hall, outside the hall, online, right now, this is the hour. In the name of Jesus, the Lord, take that staff now. Take that staff now. Take that staff now. Take that staff. Officers, help them, help them. A new face of the body of Christ is about to emerge. And we are not here to tell stories. We didn't come with cunningly devised devils. We come with the power of God. Lift your hands toward heaven. I'm seeing something moving here like a flame of light. And God is bringing so many men into the secrets of God. The courts where the oracles of God are kept. Father, everyone here, you are bringing an ordination of light. By the spirit of wisdom, I bring that activation. Take that grace. Ushers, help them. If our cities will change, then men who have power with God must emerge. Stories don't take cities. They are princes over territories. It takes scepters, wisdoms, and strategies that are divine to be able to conquer territories and to establish the government of God until his ordinances become the ways of men. In the name of Jesus. I'm rounding up. There is an unction God wants to release here. It's the rod of signs and wonders. How can you come among 30 Christians and at least 10 are not workers of miracles? How? Only one man standing in the midst of 50,000 people. What kind of glory is that? God wants to anoint and ordain workers of miracles. Huh. Huh. Ask God, anoint me with power. You will never be the same. You've touched his grace. Your life has changed. You will never be the same. You've touched his grace. Your life has changed. Aya, aya. Hey, 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 hey. Your life has changed. You will never be the same. You've touched His grace. Your life has changed. Aya, aya, hey, aya, aya, aya.
Thank God the wife of the deputy governor is here. Ask her, they will tell you. Who told you the governor will give you attention if there is nothing wonderful about your life? It is the wonder you command that causes men of power to hear you. They are too busy to hear stories for 30 minutes. When you show up, they want to know the dimension you represent. Lift your hands toward heaven. God is going to be healing the sick tonight. But He's ordaining men first who will be workers of miracles. Hiya, hiya, ha, ha. Hey, 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 hey. Hiya, hiya, ha. Hey, hey, hey. Hey. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. Sing it to yourself. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. Hiya, hiya, hiya.
Hiya,
hiya. Hey. There are at least 24 persons here that the oil of healing will begin to rest upon now. God wants to raise wonder workers. It will become commonplace that deaf ears open, blind eyes see, and cripples walk. Please, I need your heart to be open now because something is about to hit you. Father, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the overflows, to those watching online, you say you are about to release a grace, an unction to cleanse, to heal, and to deliver everyone ordained for that dimension amongst us now. In the name of Jesus, I release that grace. Rest now. Rest now. Usher, serve them. Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mandates have been given to the church once again. For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the princes to arise, for the mighty to arise. Ali, ali, yo, ali, yo, ali, yo, ali, ali, yo. Ali, ali, yo. Ali, ali, yo. Ali, ali, yo. Mantles have been given to the church once again. Mandates have been given to the church once again. For the priests to be born, for the ancients to arise, for the kings to arise, for the mighty to appear. Ali, ali, yo. Ali, ali, yo. Ali, ali, yo. Ali, ali, yo. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you are sick in your body, place your hands there now. Every affliction you came here with is about to leave you.
If it's an ear condition, put your hand there. If it's an eye condition, place your hands there. If there's a growth in your body, put your hands there. If it's an organ infection, just put your hands on your chest. God is about to disgrace the devil. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I need you to hear me. Deliverance is about to come to you. It doesn't matter if demons are responsible. It doesn't matter if you believe it's what your ancestors did. There's a record in the spirit. He said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And he said, every handwriting of ordinance that was against you, he said it was nailed to the cross. And so on the strength of that, I cancel every legal ground that authorizes your sickness. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of infirmity that is here. Every spirit causing sickness and disease, I command you, be bound in the name of Jesus. I command the chains of sickness over you now to be broken in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter the condition you came with. Ears that could not hear, or ears that are afflicted, I command that affliction to go now. In the name of Jesus. Eyes that could not see, I command those eyes, open and see now. In the name of Jesus. Every heart condition, every organ infirmity, I take authority over you now. Whether being caused by demons, being caused by bad nutrition, being caused by accident, in the name of Jesus, I command every faulty organ be healed now in the name of Jesus. Every bone condition, muscles condition that has hindered you from walking or walking normally, in the name of Jesus, I come against it. I decree by the power of the Holy Ghost, receive strength and begin to walk. I command every pain in the body, every form of arthritis, both in the head, in the back, in the neck, on the joint, pains, in the name of Jesus, get out of their bodies.
Hallelujah. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Just leave them.
Hallelujah. Alleluia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If you have a loved one that is sick because you are standing here, I use you as a point of contact and I command infirmities to be checked out of everyone connected to you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah. Hear this. Forget about what was wrong. Now lift your hands in 1 minute
honor Jesus genuinely, you will be shocked how things will leave your bodies now. Afflictions that have been there for years will just go, just like that. I know what I'm telling you. I've seen it in different nations of the world. It has no regard for race. If you will honor the Lord and believe, you will be shocked. The ease with which you will come out of your captivity. Your mouth will only be filled with laughter. Lift your hands. 1 minute. Forget about that crisis. Alleluia. 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 The spirit of death has been hovering around you. In the last 2 weeks, you have sensed so much weakness. It looks as if you can't even carry yourself from the bed. A spirit is trying to seize your life. It's coming by infirmity, but it wants to end in death. I will rebuke that spirit now, and that power will leave you. Others, one of them, what will hit that person will be very strong. Help that one so she's not injured. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of death. Anyone here under the spell of death, by the power of the Holy Ghost, come out! Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. In the name of Jesus. Help that brother. That power of death is broken. Everyone here marked for death. This is the morning of your life. You will not die. You will live to fulfill the mandate of the Lord for your life. In your generation. In the name of Jesus Christ. You want to give God a shout?
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Give the Lord a shout. You know, I've not even started the message I wrote down. I wanted to teach you what God gave you that made you supernatural. I would have talked about the Holy Ghost, eternal life, and faith. Those were the three things I wanted to teach. To show you how by the Spirit, and how by eternal life, and how by faith, your life is a wonder. Because Jesus said you are supposed to exceed Him. Now remember, The Bible said of all that Jesus did, if they were written, it said there is no volume of book in the world that will contain it. So, it will be an error for anybody to attempt to write your biography. You can't write it. Because everything you do can't be captured. And I wanted to show you how that by the Holy Ghost, by eternal life, and by faith, your life is a wonder. And I didn't even start. I'm sure Reverend Michelia will do justice to that. And next year we will be here. Now, hear this. Check your bodies. If you have noticed a change, I won't take the testimonies, but we need to use you to shame the devil. You know, as we're worshiping, God began to tell me the people he's touched. That's why sometimes we worship. I saw somebody, that sister with her tie, you wearing black, can you please lift your hand? No. Yes. I saw somebody close to that sister that had an excruciating back pain that just left. It just vanished. Well, it happened to you. I saw somebody there. Who is that person? Okay, come. You too can come. I saw that. You know, when you start worshiping, God begins to talk. I saw somebody around that sister with black. You there. You with chain. You. Lift your hand. I saw somebody close to you. He passed like a snap. This person has a heart condition. It's like the heart keeps shaking and palpitating. And the Lord told me he touched somebody there with a heart condition. Who is that person? Sir, are you the one? Oh, you two on yellow. You had a... Come, please. I don't have time to pick them out by word of knowledge, but they are healed. That's what I'm talking. I saw something outside by the left here. It looked like this person's leg is beginning to swell. And as the leg swells, it makes you so uncomfortable and you're having issues even with walking. It's like at one point they have rubbed something like mud on that leg. I don't know, but I saw a vision like that, like a snap. If there's anybody outside there that had that situation, God has healed you. If you check that leg now, you'll discover it's gone. Now, hear this. Check your bodies. If you have noticed a change, a notable change, a tangible change, a recognizable change in your body, like a healing. Can I see your hand up? You have noticed a change. You have noticed a change. God has touched you. Those of you lifting your hand, can you join them here quickly? I want to pray for you. The way God works with me, if he heals you, he starts using you to heal others. Sir, do I have your permission for them to come up? Please come up so you don't choke the ministers. Come up here so you don't choke the ministers. I've seen there are many. Let them just stand. Come on. These are people who God has touched already. They have received their healing.
Hallelujah.
Amazing. See what God has done. All these persons here have been healed. And you are just looking like that. Don't make it the love that shall.
What no man can do, Jehovah.
Only you can do. What no man can do, Jehovah.
Only you can do. What no man can do, Jehovah.
Only you can do. What no man can do, Jehovah.
Only you can do. What no man can do, Jehovah.
Thank you, Father. I was thinking we'll take testimonies, but the number is much. So we can't. How many of you had an eye-related issue? Eye. Something was wrong with your eye. You had an eye issue? Come. Eye-related condition, stand here. How many of you had an ear condition? Something wrong with your ear. Ear. You couldn't hear or something was wrong. Come. How many of you had a growth in your body? A growth, but it left you. You had a growth, a tangible growth, but it left. Come. You had a growth. Come. What was wrong? Lower the volume. What was wrong?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't even know how to start it. I have a growth on my right leg.
You had a growth on your right leg?
Yes, I used to feel it. I complained to my sister. She's a nurse. So she gave me one drug like that. I took.
What happened now?
Okay, I can't feel it there again.
The growth is gone?
Yes, and whenever I want to squat, I used to feel pain.
I'm calling what we can verify. Most of you here, you have been healed of an organ condition. But you need to do a test to know. Like kidney, like liver. After this conference, you will check and discover hepatitis is gone. You'll discover high blood pressure is gone. You'll discover high blood sugar level is gone. But I'm calling tangible things so that you can tell. What was wrong with her eye?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Usually when I want to read, my eyes will start bringing out water. And I won't be able to read.
What happened now?
I can't feel the pain.
Did you try?
Anymore.
Oh, you had pains.
Yes.
And the pains are gone.
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody here before who had a problem walking? You are the one?
Yes.
From outside?
Yes, when you mentioned that.
You were outside?
No, I'm by the left sitting at the back there.
What happened?
There was a time that something was rough on the leg.
Something was actually wrong.
Yes, and then when you mentioned my case, already I've been praying about it, but right now I feel free. And the second one, 2 weeks ago that you mentioned that you saw a spirit of death. Actually, today was the second week I lost a friend. And since then, there is this heaviness in me.
It lives forever. Come out! Never to return. In the name of Jesus. What growth they've appeared?
My kidney growth.
Sorry?
Kidney growth.
You had a growth in your kidney?
Yes.
You could feel it?
Even before I came here, I was having sharp pain. After you pray, I hit my stomach.
You were hitting.
And I can't feel that pain again.
It has grown. Give the Lord the show. What no man can do, Jehovah.
Only you can do. What no man can do, Jehovah.
We are out of time. And this is enough. So you don't joke with time. What you would do is, write your testimony, alright? So that we can glorify God on your behalf. Don't take it for granted. Even if it's headache. Headache kills. So don't take it for granted. Write it. Submit it. God's servant will thank God. You are the reason for the conference. Praise God. You had an ear condition. What happened?
When I gave birth to my son, immediately I gave birth to him. Because I had a lot of attacks. When
during the pregnancy?
Yes.
What happened after the birth?
So immediately, this year, I could not hear. I've gone to everywhere teaching.
You couldn't hear at all.
Yes, at some point. So later, it is terrible, but still, yes, as if you are choking a very sharp object every time.
You are feeling that pain, yes. And you couldn't hear well.
Yes, but immediately you prayed, I felt as if something left, and I'm feeling very normal, very okay.
I've seen this case many times. Women who give birth and go deaf. I don't know that demonic complication, but your healing is permanent. In the name of Jesus. Can you stretch hands and bless them and decree that this healing is permanent? Finally, I can't call you out, but hear this. If you know your life and your walk with God is not right, and as you are standing now, if the trumpet were to blast, you don't know your fate. Put your hand on your chest and rededicate yourself to Jesus now. I won't call you out because the number may be much. Place your hand on your chest now. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what the glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And to all who will trust, let's invite Reverend Michelia to pray for them.
Just stand up for the Lord.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.